Glad you're here. It's good to see everybody. We are right now officially in the altar service. Right now, unofficially, or officially, or however, we're in the altar service. Anytime, anywhere, any place, we're in the altar service. For 20 years there at Calvary, we've been in an altar service. They know that when it's when the Spirit of God moves, that can happen in a song service, that can happen in testimonies, it can happen in the preaching, it can happen in the introduction to the preaching, but they know that when the Spirit of the Lord starts to move, it's time for the altar service. I never intend to, while pastoring, get it in such a shape where we have to do something all the time. Have to. We've got 27 visitors here and 42 of them sing, and we've got to use them. No, we don't. We got Brother Hyde here. He's from Missouri, and we got Brother Gabbard coming in, and he's from Kentucky. And we've got to get them men in this pulpit because No, we don't. But the choir didn't even get to sing tonight. Sorry. We're not just about choir singing. But we had a house full of visitors, and Brother Ralph Horton didn't even get asked to testify. We're not in the testifying marathon here in this meeting. We're in the middle of an altar service right now. Somebody can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Norm Smekley said one night while he was testifying, that when the Holy Ghost moved on him to get saved, by the time he left his pew and stepped out into the aisle, he was already a born-again believer. He said, when I got down to the altar, that was just the icing on the cake. I'm telling you, it's altar service time. My goals in life are, the older I'm getting, the more my goals in life are changing. And I recognize that some of the things that I really thought very pertinent about the house of God and about meetings is going in one door and out the other. Something is transpiring in my life, taking its place. And that is having a move of the Holy Ghost in the church where you're at that present time. We got some visitors here this morning. Glad to have you all. Appreciate it. Good to see your smiling faces. And couldn't have a meet without you. That's what fellowship is all about. But early this morning, my wife looked over at me, sitting over there, eyes of stewing, just stewing about service and just stewing. And my wife looked over there at me, and you know what she said? You know what she said? She's not sure. You know what she said? This ain't about shoes now. You know what she said?
Well, to the best of my memory, I'll tell you. Well, he was actually fretting last night. He was fretting. You understand that if you're married to a preacher. He was fretting last night, and he was fretting this morning, and I just said, go in that church just like we want. When the Lord sends a minister to our precious sheep, and just feed them. Give them what they need and quit trying to produce something that you're not supposed to produce, reach an emotion that you're not supposed to reach. Just go in there and give them what the Lord said and let the rest be in His hands.
Okay, this morning I'll take the tithe. She gets the offering. Since you were taking two at the same time anyway. You know, everybody in this room that's heard messages and sermons, raise your hand. You heard them? Okay, everybody that can remember them by the time you get to the parking lot, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I can't even remember them myself, and I preach them. Sometimes I'll be sitting in church on Sunday morning saying, what did I preach Wednesday night? And then it dawns on me, I wasn't even there Wednesday night. I'm telling you, we've heard them. We've had them. But the night that I hit bedrock, there wasn't even a message being preached. The Holy Ghost fell, and I got in, and I got right with God, got baptized, got touched to the Holy Ghost, and started my little crusading right then at that very point. I know there's going to be folks coming in here wanting to hear the preaching. Let's have some preaching. Get the Bible out. Let's have some preaching. We need to have some preaching. I'm telling you, some of you guys are so saturated on preaching now. You're almost too heavy to raise your hands. And we're almost too heavy to jump up in the aisle and worship God. One pastor friend told me he quit preaching on worship. He said, I got so many old people in my church, hurts them to raise their arms. He said, I quit preaching on worship. I got so many folks, it just hurts them. It just hurts them to even come into the house of God. They just can't, you know, and I'm having a little bursitis trouble right there. I'm telling you, I am raising my arm high right now. I'm having a little bursitis trouble. But I want to read something to you. I want to read it with this heart, though. I want to read something to you. I'm in the book of John. I ain't going to be here all morning. I'm not. Has anybody prayed over the food yet? Father, we thank you for the provisions that we're about to enjoy. Bless them to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're ready. Hallelujah. Y'all let visitors go first? Okay, just checking. Just checking. I don't go here, you know. I ain't from around these parts. I'm the only saxophone player you'll ever have that plays a horn that thinks it's a banjo, though. Only one. I got this little verse. Boy, I'm glad to have Brother Brent and the kiddos back here, and he's going to be here some during the meeting. He can help pull this thing out after me and the pastor buries it. John, chapter number 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the homecoming, that you could smell the food coming from the kitchen and waffling down the hallway, and when you get up to step out there to check things out, your taste buds start to bounce up and down in your mouth, and you can start in the last day, the great day of the feast. Had a lot of visitors coming in, got this real nice poster with pictures on it, and looking forward to having in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, if you was in the middle of a feast, I mean, if you was in the last day of the great feast, you're in the middle of the feast. If somebody jumped up and said, just drink, don't eat. Anybody that's thirsty, drink. I got something for you to drink. You got prime rib sitting in there waiting on you to slice it. You would say, I'm not going to fill up on that. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to fill up on the groceries. The last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I'm going to take this little oil bottle. I'm going to take the lid off of it. I'm going to set it right here. And this is what we're going to do this morning. This is the kickoff to this meeting around here. We don't just need to have another few nights of service. And we don't need to have somebody quote out of the Strong's Concordance and give us Hebrew and Greek and Pig Latin. We don't need somebody to waltz their way in here and grab a saxophone and play notes that ain't even on that particular thing. What we need is for folks to come in here craving a drink. Craving a drink. We don't need a bunch of boys huddling over in some corner talking about the best chewing tobacco that you can get on the market. We need to come into the doors of the house of God craving a drink. Now, this ain't deep, and it ain't going to be deep. I'm telling you, this is going to be about as deep as the glass that you're fixing to drink out of. Some people need to be prayed for. Some people need to have the oil applied to their head and prayed for, that God would cause them to get a craving to drink. That's all you need. That's all you need. Brother Randy wouldn't have to say one thing about worship if you was craving when you come through the door of this church. I wouldn't have to get up here and take a text for one single solitary night if we come through the door craving a move of God. And you may not think that's necessary. You may not think it's important. You may not even think that on the scale of 1 to 10 that it even ought to be listed. I mean, especially since we've got the carpets looking nice and the pews vacuumed nice. And we've got the outside of the church all trimmed up. And we got the tables set up and the chairs set up. And everybody's stewing around just like we did a couple of weeks ago during our May fellowship meeting. But I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. Some of the best preaching in the world we walk out the door with and have it forgotten in 15 minutes. But when you come into the house of God with a craving and you go out with your belly full of living water, we remember that. We remember what it feels like. Now, I know, you may not know, but I know that in some of our churches we have just absolutely, positively lost that craving, desire to have an old-fashioned move of God. Number one, some of the clothes that we wear, we can't hardly shout in them. Number two, we've got so much nice cologne on, we don't want to sweat it off. Number three, we're a little bit inhibited. We're just a little bit embarrassed. And so we kind of sit back when the Holy Ghost starts to move. Number four, if you're one of the young teenage boys that has finally grown up, and you put down the rattle, and now you're interested in the rattle trap, it's a little bit degrading for some of them boys to come out there with their hands up and let the Spirit of God touch them. The same thing for some of the young ladies. But I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. You're going to have a dead meeting if you don't come in these doors with a craving. You're going to have a bunch of dead preaching. You're going to have a bunch of dead altar services. You're going to have a bunch of dead individuals. The choir will be dead. Song service will be dead. My saxophone will be dead. The banjo will be dead. There's got to be a craving in your fingers. There's got to be a craving in your feet. There's got to be a craving in your arms. There's got to be a craving in your eyes and in your mouth. I'm telling you, you got to have a craving for an old-fashioned move of God. A craving for that. We've got a young lady that goes to our church now. Be cautious here without giving away too much information. She's from a broken home, and she graduated high school this year. And a few weeks ago, she got a craving to come to a Pentecostal church and have a move of God and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was craving that. And I'm going to tell you how much she was craving it. She moved in and told her natural mom and her stepdad that she had a desire to go down to the Pentecostal church and get more than what she has at that very moment. And in that particular family with her mom and her dad, the stepdad said, if you step out of this house and go down to that church, you can't have your car, you can't have your dog, you can't have your clothes, you can't have anything out of your room, you can't even go back to your room. If you walk out that door right now to go to that church, all you're going to leave this house with until you turn 18, all you're going to leave this house with is the top you got on and the blue jean skirt that you got on, and the tennis shoes that you are wearing. And when the door closed behind her, the little girl stepped out on the sidewalk with a craving that was greater than anything that even in her own life merited. And that little girl started down the street, run into one of our church folks. The next thing you know, she's coming in the door of the house of God. And the first several services, she wore the same top. She wore the same skirt. She wore the same tennis shoes. Until I got up one night and got to telling some of them folks that's got more shirts than you can wear and got more and got more britches than you can wear, and got more shoes in the closet than you could possibly wear. And some of the ladies, I'm not even going to get in on the shoe thing with some of the ladies here. But we got some ladies that will give Imelda Marcos a run for her money on this shoe business. I walk into the closet, and I look up at all them little boxes that my wife has stacked neatly on the shelf. And I got to looking the other day, and I said, you got two pairs of shoes in one. You got two pairs of shoes in them boxes. And my wife said, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. I said, bitch, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. So I don't say it. I bought it, but I don't get to say it. There's nothing like it. But that little girl, I'm telling you, and we get in the house of God, she comes through that door craving a move of God. When the altar call is given, she hits that altar craving a move of God. When the altar service is over and everybody's trying to decide whether to go to the pizza place or the pizza place, she's still down there in the altar craving. And I'm telling you, that might crimp your style, and it might put you at the back of the line at the pizza place. But I'm going to make you a money back guarantee. You get a craving for God, you'll have something so eternal that there ain't nothing in this world can even compare to it. One of the men in our church slipped my wife $200 and said, buy her some clothes. Help her get some clothes. And I'm telling you, Calvary has rallied around that little girl. I don't have her get up and preach. I don't have her get up and sing. She doesn't have a testimony of Bible school. She's not been to Export, and she's not been to Neosho, but she sat there on that front row. She's give up her house, her clothes, her pet, her automobile, just so she can come to the house of the Lord. And some of you didn't even want to get up today and come into the house. And I'm telling you right now, we're losing our craving for God, until we're willing to get up and tell the boyfriend, I can't date you and have the baptism. And tell the girlfriend, I can't go with you and have the baptism. Tell the boss, I can't buy this, do this, sell this, and keep the baptism. We're losing our craving. Now listen. Listen. Got this little oil bottle right here. I'm telling you, we're in the altar service right now. And when you recognize that you are a candidate to be prayed for, that the craving of God will return again to your life, I don't care what point of this sermon, message, or service that it comes up, I want you to come out of that seat. I want you to walk down that aisle. I want you to come up here around this front, and I want you to raise both hands. And I tell you, I may not stand there 25 minutes, but I'm going to come around and do my best to lay my hands on you and ask God, give them a craving. Like the craving that they got tonight, that the Holy Ghost fell and the Spirit pulled them out of that seat down to an old-fashioned altar. Give them a craving for a baptism fresh of the Holy Ghost. Their testimony of 40 years is doing just that. It's got a 40-year lag in it, and they need something fresh and up-to-date. I'm not talking about having a meeting that is great, that when Brother and Sister Horton gets here, or Brother and Sister Gabbard gets here, or Brother and Sister Savage gets here. I ain't talking about a meeting that we all come into the house of God and try to show each other our abilities. I'm talking about a meeting where 18-year-olds will come out there with their hands up. Where moms and dads will come out there with their hands up. Where husbands and wives will ask the umbrella of the glory of God to shield their house and stay close to their life. I'm telling you, we're in the altar service right now. And if you're sitting in this room and you recognize, I don't crave this like I used to crave it. I'm not as excited about this as I used to be. I'm not as happy about this as I used to be. In fact, I've sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost until I'm convinced that it's for somebody else. That, my friend, is a lie out of hell. I've come to the house of God and I've sat back convinced that healing is for somebody else. That, my friend, is a lie. The truth is, if you'll come through the door thirsty, Jesus says, even if it's the day of the feast, I'll give you something that's going to take care of the need that you've got. You don't need another sermon. You need a fresh craving. You need a fresh drink. We're in the altar service. We're in the altar service. What in the world happened at that Keene Mountain Church during that May meeting that they have? What in the world happened? They went out of having a fellowship meeting into having a revival. And when people started coming through the door, they couldn't figure out what in the world is going on. We've sat in our folding chairs and we found our padded pews until we've absolutely satisfied ourselves that just by showing up, we've met the qualifications. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said the qualifications ain't met until you have a thirst for righteousness. And when that happens, brother, sister, sitting by somebody won't hold you back. Locking somebody won't hold you back. Or any part of the service. Altar service is open right now. Right now. Right now. Listen. Listen. Brother Leon Buzzard. He's gone. Gone. Brother Leon Buzzard worked at a care facility back years ago before he was the Buzzard that we knew. He worked at this care facility. And to the best of my abilities, it was a mental facility. Okay. Brother Buzzard said, that in that facility, in one of them wards, there was an old Indian that was hollering all day, hollering. Fighty, mad, had to restrain him, just uncontrollable. Old man, the one in beds. And he kept shouting this same word all the time. Hollering it. And Brother Buzzard said it was an Indian dialect that he didn't recognize. But Brother Buzzard wrote that word down as best he could and took it to an old Indian that he was acquainted with. And that old Indian took a look at that, saw what that word was, and told Brother Buzzard what the old man is hollering. The next day, Brother Buzzard started down that hallway to hear that old man in there hollering that word. And Brother Buzzard went to the refreshment station and poured water into a cup and stepped back in that room and walked up, removed one of the restraints off of the old man's arm and handed that old man that cup of water for days and weeks and months. All he wanted was a drink of water. And nobody could understand what he was saying. He fought his last nurse that day. He was in a bad humor for the last time that day. He went from being somebody that everybody dreaded to being somebody that everybody wanted to serve. They wanted to go into the room all because the craving of an old Indian was satisfied with a cup of water. Now, I'm telling you, you want to change in your disposition, you need to get thirsty again. You need a change in your family or in your marriage, you need to get thirsty again. Are you, if you're more satisfied with a back row than you are the front row, you might ought to get thirsty again. What we absolutely need is not just another meeting where we eat so much that Pepto-Bismol becomes our greatest friend. We need to have a meeting with the Spirit of God, and the water from the well of Bethlehem is poured out in every service until neighbors beside us say, I don't know what's happening, but I want some of this. The other night, Melissa moved out of the house with her mom and her stepdad into the house with her real dad and new stepmom. Are you getting this? You getting this? The other night, I looked up in the service, and there sat her dad in our May fellowship meeting. And there sat her stepmom in the fellowship meeting. And I walked back there to him and I said, now sometimes we get a little loud around here. We get a little wild up there making excuses for being what we ought to be. Shut up! But I walked back there and we get a little loud and we get a little wild. And the whole time I was saying it, I'm not sure if I wanted them to or if I didn't want them to. That stepmom looked at me and she said, we ain't afraid of the Spirit of God when it goes to moving. Well, all right then. Well, all right then. I'm telling you, every once in a while us preachers need to be reminded that we're not afraid of the moving of the Spirit of God in these rooms. Sometimes we're afraid we won't be able to find our note, or we're afraid we won't be able to find our text, or we're afraid we won't be able to rhyme our next phrase of words. But the truth of this matter, we ought not be afraid of the moving of the Spirit of God. We ought to crave that. I crave it. I crave for the next song service that we have for the Holy Ghost to break out in the musicians until the drummer lays down the sticks and shouts the shout of faith. I'm craving an old-fashioned move of God, a fellowship meeting that looks more like a revival than a graveyard, a fellowship meeting that looks more like fresh oil from the throne than stale oil from the pit. I am craving this. I heard my wife the other day. I heard her. I heard her on the phone with Billy, her older brother. I was in the basement, and I had it on speakerphone. She was upstairs talking to her brother about our meeting that we just had. I heard her say this. I heard her say, my husband, he acted different this year in the fellowship meeting. I mean, I wasn't worried that she was fixing to read my pedigree and my life story, because I know our relationship. But I heard her tell her big brother, some of you all met him, the gospel according to Billy. He was at the tabernacle that night. But I heard her say, he's really been acting different this year. And then she used another word. She said, distant. He's just been acting distant. And normally when that happens, she knows down in the bottom of her heart that I'm either in the mood to buy a truck and trailer, I'm ready to put the house up for sale and hit the road, or some other place is called, and I'm feeling a tug in my heart, and I'm trying to draw a wall between where I'm at and where I need to go. She knows those things. But the distance that I've been feeling here lately is that gulf between me and that water. the gulf between me and getting that water. And I tell you, Jerry Pascarella preached some of the greatest messages you'll ever want to preach. But any night, every night that I walked out of that place and my feet wasn't wet, I had a distant look in my face. I just couldn't figure out what is the gulf between me and that water. And I'm telling you, I have had that in my heart. I've had that on my mind. I've had that out here on the road. I had it when I pulled in last night. I had it again this morning when I got up. I had it here in the service. I had it when Brother Webb was up. I had it when the young, when them babies was singing. I had that little thing in my heart. There's a distance. There's a distance. And I can't figure out what that distance is keeping me from that water. But I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. If I thought that I could walk up here and tell Brother Randy Webb to get the oil bottle and come and anoint me, that I could cover that distance and meet the craving in my heart, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd do it in a heartbeat. Are you listening? Would you do it in a heartbeat? Would you do it in a heartbeat? Would you lean back in that pew where you're at right now and agree with me that there's a distance between you and that water that used to satisfy your need and rejoice in your heart and make everything all right at home? That there was a joy that you had even though the bills were due and the baby had a fever and the car had a flat tire. Is there anybody that can remember what it felt like to be drinking from the wells of living water even though you're going through the hardest time in your life and the greatest trial of your life? Does anybody remember what it felt like to know that you were drinking from the fountain of God the whole time you were standing at the casket of a loved one that had passed away, and you walked out of the door with a heavy heart, but a testimony that it is well with my soul? Have we forgotten what a good old craving of the water of life would do to some of us preachers? It would suddenly take us from thumbing through the book looking for something that ain't never been preached on to thumbing through the book looking at something that's been the deliverance of the independent holiest people for years. We just need to preach about heaven, and we need to talk about hell, and we need to talk about healing, and we need to talk about the Holy Ghost. And to do that, we need a craving of a fresh drink. If any man thirst. Now you've heard better preaching than this, but you are listening to some of the preaching you're going to have to put up with this week. Because I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be the next hit out on the internet with my sermon. I'm trying to have a revival right here in this room and make visitors wonder what in the world had they been doing in that building. Listen to me. If I can get you to recognize that your biggest problem is not your attitude, or your biggest problem is not the need in your body, that your biggest problem is a thirst. If any man thirst, that's the problem. If any man thirst, when we've been to the water fountain of the country western world, and we've been drinking the Kool-Aid of Hollywood, and we've been drinking the Kool-Aid of the fashion industry, we've been drinking the Kool-Aid of the tobacco industry, drinking the Kool-Aid of the alcoholic industry, when we've been drinking the Kool-Aid of the pornography industry and the laptop age and all of the rest of the stuff that contributes to the delinquency of minors, when we're drinking from those fountains, it's pretty easy to see why. When you come to church and the pastor says, "Would you like a drink of this?" we shake our head no. The reason is, we're too full of everything else. We've let everything else fill us up until when we come to the house of God, there's no room for "I'll fly away." There's no room for "amazing grace." There's no room for being anointed with oil and the prayer of faith saving the sick. I'm telling you, you need to get a thirst. Now listen. Listen. I'm about done. The next thing you got to do, Melissa, the next thing you got to do, sweetie, is walk to the door, step out on the porch, leave everything that's yours behind, and come on. Let him that is athirst come. Now, you're in the middle of your altar call. Right now, you're in the middle of your altar call. Right now, let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life. She didn't just walk up here. She didn't just walk up here to show you her outfit. She walked up here because the rest of that verse says, when you come, you drink. You get something. Don't bury your head up there and grab a tissue. Don't bury your head up there and grab a napkin or reach for your handkerchief. When you come up to this altar, don't bury your face in that piece of wood and try to convince everybody in the service you're okay. You come up there and you drink. You reach out and you drink. You reach out and you drink. If you can't drink some of the rest of the junk that you have been drinking. We're in the middle of an altar call right now. Is there anybody else feels like that at this very particular moment, I'm no more ready for a May Fellowship meeting than a blue tick coon hound? That if I could get a good old-fashioned craving, if I could just get, if brother Hyde noticed me when I came down to the front, notice that I walked up there. Notice that I raised my hands. Notice that I come up around this altar. I didn't come up here to show people my yellow shirt. I didn't come up here to show people my banjo. I come up here because Jesus said he'd give me a drink if I was thirsty. And then he said that water that I get from him, it'll take care. I'll never thirst again. There's some things I'll never want to drink again.